Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Hey, all the guests, I am going to. Because I can. I've got the mic. But yesterday, what are the odds of running into somebody in Box Hill that you haven't seen for many, many years? It's like in zero. God ordained. God made it happen. But yesterday, I'm here. I'm walking to Aldi, which I didn't think was like in 30 minutes away. I thought it was around the corner. Rude awakening. But I hear this, Pastor Jay. And I turn around. And Eugene was there, who I was with him and his dad and his brother and his mum back in the day in Singapore when Jay, my son Jay, was playing rugby and we ministered. And it's such an honor and a privilege, and Ruth and Faith as well, to have you with us in the house today. So welcome. Thank you very much for coming. So good. So that's my guest that I invited, by the way. Invite a friend. I was like, oh, Eugene, come to church tomorrow. I haven't invited a friend yet. And he's like, yeah, sure, Pastor, I'll be there. So it's awesome. Hey, guess what? You want good news? Oh, do you want good news? We got a house. Yeah, we got a house. You want to know where? Come back next week, I'll tell you. No. It's in Doncaster East. How good is this? I didn't share this at the first service, so you guys are privy of this. But what happened was, I was the only person who knows the rental market is difficult. Oh, not everybody, but some of you do. Well, if you don't know, I want to tell you, the rental market is very difficult, all right? Normally when you go in the Gold Coast to go to a rental market, there's about 50 people that go through the house with you. I'm not kidding, all right? And so I went to this house, and guess what? I was the only person. Fever. That's me, fever. And then I go through the house, and on the Saturday, guess what happened? The agent phones me and asks me if I'm going to apply. Fever. I said to Paulina, I said, you know what? That's maybe a kick up the bum to apply. That's maybe God going, wake up, JJ. This is your house. So we applied, and we got it. How good is that? I mean, God is really, really good. He's a good father. So that's one of the testimonies. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about testimonies. You want to hear another good news story? I don't know if you realize, but a couple of weeks ago, we prayed for Rob and Ondi. Yes. Those of you who don't know, who are visiting today. So Rob needed a kidney transplant. Miracle story. You'll have to come. One day we'll have them up here. The newspaper's even on this. So the newspaper is busy at the moment following the story. But I won't give you all the details. So Wednesday they went in for the operation. On Wednesday they went in for the operation. Guess who's the donor of the kidney? His wife, Ondi. All right? How good is that? So they're going on. This is them on Wednesday, off into the hospital. And then 12 hours later, I wake up with a photo, which unfortunately we haven't got on here, of Ondi and Rob. 12 hours later, he wasn't in ICU, he was back in the ward, and the kidney that they had transplanted from Ondi into Rob was already producing urine. Come on, that's a miracle. Let's give God praise. We can get more excited about that. That's better. So I want you to know that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, yeah? That we need to continuously share our testimonies with one another. Now, the testimony of Jesus is Revelation 19:10. It says this, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Testimony is important. Testimony is a spoken or a written word of God's activity in our lives. What have I just given you? I've given you two testimonies, my testimony and Robin Ondi's testimony. And I believe that each and every single one of you have many testimonies of God's goodness. I know we've got some South African friends here today, and I just want to welcome them too. But they have a testimony of coming from South Africa to Australia, as do we. Each one of us have a testimony. A testimony prophesies to people who hear it what God is willing to do for them as well. So this testimony I share with you so that you know God wants to do a miracle for you no matter the circumstance you have. Why do you think we have altar time? Why do you think we come to a place where we surrender everything and we say, I want it all. I want you. You love me, but I love you too. Yeah? What does testimony do? Testimony is a story about God's nature. It reveals his heart. Testimony reveals his person. A testimony reveals what he values. A testimony reveals his interactions with people, his history with mankind. So every time we share a story like this, guess what? You and I are creating an opportunity for that story to be duplicated. That's a good word, JJ. That's a good word. So God wants to duplicate the stories, that the miracles he's done in your life, he wants to duplicate. He wants to do it again for somebody else. And if you don't share that story, guess what? They don't know. They might not even know that there is hope. So we need to share what God is doing in our lives. Is that good? So it's important to share. It's important to share our stories. But we can't just share the stories. Sorry, this was bugging me last time. Now I've got rid of it. We can't just share the stories. Guess what? When we share the stories, there becomes an expectancy. The room becomes pregnant that God is about to do something else. I don't know if you felt the shift in atmosphere when I started sharing the story. Who felt happy for Rob and Ondi? You should all be raising your hands. Hello. All right. So that creates that oh, wow, God can do miracles? Yes, he can. And he loves doing miracles. That's who he is. He's a miracle working God. So I want to share a couple more testimonies. Is that all right? In the church, I preached in the church on the Gold Coast called Upper Room. And God gave me two pictures. He gave me a picture of a tennis racket and an elbow. And I put two together. I'm going, God, is there anybody here that has been suffering from tennis elbow? And I don't know if you know that is very, 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 very painful. If you have tennis elbow, you cannot use your elbow. Anyway, I think this woman was 16 years she'd suffered it. God touched her, pain went from 9 to a 2. And the story that I had is that basically she is healed from that. So this is what God wants to do amongst us. He wants to touch your knees. He wants to touch your elbows. He wants to touch your hips. Another testimony that we have throughout wherever we go, God heals chronic headaches, migraines, things that rob you. Who knows that when you have a migraine, you cannot see out of your eyes? I do. I suffer from it. I don't anymore. Praise Jesus. I'm being healed. But chronic headaches, you know, when your head is busting, you cannot focus, can't read, can't have a light on. You know, with the migraines, my migraines were so bad, I had to close all the curtains, no light, and nobody could knock on the door. There could be no sound in the room because it just felt like my head was going to burst. Who knows that is not of God? And that God wants to heal it. So God gave me a couple of words of knowledge. And we did. We saw healing in the first service. Who's ready for healing here? So I'm just going to go after these. Only six of you, but that's okay. Hopefully the rest of you will become ready for healing. Is that my wife? Hello, wifey. Love you. Miss you. Anyway, so they FaceTiming in. All right. Right hip. Anybody here who has had problems with their right hip or any hip problems? Yeah, can you stand, please, ma'am? We're going to pray for you. Can we stand for us, sir? We're going to pray for your right hips. Anybody else for right hips? Right, great. We've got two. Awesome. We're going to pray for you now. The other one is headaches, chronic headaches, migraines. Migraines, chronic headaches. Anybody with chronic headaches, with migraines, stand to your feet. Don't come to me afterwards. This is your moment. Thank you, sir. Can you stand? Can you also stand? Oh, there you go. Fantastic. Well, there you go. One, two, three, four. Four have stood for chronic headaches. We're going to pray for you right now. And the other one, I'm going to share the testimony. I'm still going to put it out. God showed me the right ankle, and it's either a motorcycle injury or a bicycle injury. Right ankle, motorcycle, bicycle. Anybody here? No? Looks like, Michael, you were the one. So here's another testimony. Michael had an accident with his bicycle, ruined his right ankle, so much so he was telling me after the service. I didn't know this, so I called this out. Michael stood up. We prayed. We got people around. We prayed for him. And he was saying he was actually going into surgery in 3 weeks' time. 3 weeks' time for surgery. Can you just show us the result? What he couldn't do? Can you jump up and down on there? Any pain? Any pain? No pain? Come on, let's give God praise. That happened in the first service. You feel that faith level that's gone up? All right. Now, guess what? This is not the church, the building. You are the church. Everybody do this. Everybody, all of you do this. God said that you will lay these things on others and heal them. So guess what? You're going to go and come around these people that need prayer, and we're going to pray for them. So can I get about two or three people around each person in faith? Go and lay your hand. The rest of you who are not, can you make sure that you are praying, all right? So I need to make sure that there's enough people. You're praying. There you go. Right. In Jesus' mighty name. So I'm going to pray. And then you are just going to believe. I want you praying in your heavenly language. If you've got your heavenly language, if you haven't got a heavenly language, can you please pray in your English language or your Mandarin or whatever language you speak at home, you pray. Paulina, you pray in Afrikaans. All right, so let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are the healer. You are the healer. Right now in this place, there is healing. And we speak to each and every single one of these hips, and we say to the hips, you are healed in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you that pain is gone, and the hips are restored. We thank you that there is right now complete healing in those hips. You might be feeling a warmth in those hips right now. You might be feeling a tingle in those hips right now. Just receive the healing. If that's you for the hips, just receive the healing. You lay your hand on your hip and just say, I receive that healing in Jesus' mighty name. All right. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to pray for the headaches. I just want you to lay your hand, somebody, one person, lay your hand around their head like a crown. Like a crown. Just your fingers, not your whole hand, just your fingers. Somebody lay there like this, around, like a circle around. All right? And then I want you to, is this lady praying for a headache? Can somebody do that on her head? Headache? Back pain. You just stay there. All right. And then on the count of three, I want you to lift that headache and that tension off. All right? One, two, three. In Jesus' name, we lift it off. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to now place your hand on the head and replace that headache, that pain, with the presence and the power of God. So right now, we just thank you for the presence and the power of God to come in Jesus' mighty name. We say to all those headaches, you are of the past. Migraines, you are of the past. In the name of Jesus, from this moment forward, there will be no more headaches. No more headaches in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Right, this lady with your back, what is your pain level out of 10? A 6? Whereabouts in your back? Just there? So it's on your right-hand side, just there? So it's not your hip, it's above your hip, yeah? Right, great. So now I would like two of the ladies to just lay your hands, one on this side and one on this side, all right? And we're just going to declare the power of God right now. I speak to this back in Jesus' name, and I declare healing power from the crown of your head. Can you just open your hands and receive like this? There you go. I just declare healing power right now in Jesus' mighty name. I say to you, pain, you are gone. You are gone in Jesus' name. You are gone in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give me your hand. Yeah, you just lay your hand there. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Canary, I just declare power of God, yes. Healing be gone, yes. Healing be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Pain be gone, ligaments come into alignment, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Canary, can you just check? Have you got more pain? Can you check? Can you move?
Check. It's half an hour ago.
Better than half an hour? So pain level, what's your pain level?
2.
Pain level is 2. Come on, come on, come on. All right, hold on. We're going to pray again. 2. We want it from 2 to 0, Lord. 2 to 0. 2 to 0. Right now. 2 to 0. Sure, I feel that. Thank you, Lord. Just say, I receive complete healing. All pain gone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Where's your pain level now? You got pain? It's all gone? Come on. Father, we seal this. We seal this with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise. How good is that? I'm going to get fit, Sally. Good. What are you saying? What are you saying? All right, just give me a wave. Anybody in here, I know Canary did, anybody else who received healing, just give me a wave. Just give me a wave. Anybody who felt a difference? A difference? Did you feel a difference, sir? You felt a difference? Anybody else? Just give me a wave. 2? Anybody else? The guy, gentleman at the back, did you feel a difference? No? Sort of like? All right, you don't know yet. 3. So 3 different people that have got healings in this room today. That's the testimony of Jesus. Yeah, so we go home and we say to our spouses, our family, we say to our kids, guess what? Jesus was in the house. He healed people today. Guess what? We're going to go after healing every single week. So I want to say, bring the sick. Bring those who are in pain. Because you know where Jesus is, there is healing. Amen? Amen. Amen? Okay, good. All right, let's pray. Whew. That's just the intro, by the way. You ready? Father, we just thank you. Jesus, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are here. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you, Father, that what you have started, you will complete. And we say, Lord, be with us today. Holy Spirit, speak to us as we sit around the Word. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. I need you. I need you. Lay your hands on your heart. Say, I receive everything that Jesus wants to say to me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I've titled my message today, Good versus Bad. Good versus Bad. Journey through life. We know that there's a lot of good that happens, but we also know there's a lot of bad that happens, yes? But one thing I want to highlight today, and Belinda has mentioned this already, and even in our songs and in our worship, this has come forward, is that we serve a good Father. We serve a good Father. Here's a question I have for you. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why do you think Jesus came to earth? Some of us will say, to come and save us. Anybody agree with that? Yes, some of you, 5 of you. Some of us think that he came to give us eternal life. Anybody agree with that? Eternal life, yes. Some of us say to show us how to live. Those of you, yep, some of you, great. Unveil the strategy of the enemy, definitely, definitely. But you know what, and so I can go on. Jesus came to do many things. But I want to propose to you today that all these things that we think Jesus came to do are only sub-points of a main point. Sub-points of a main point. What are you talking about, Jesus? JJ? Well, what I'm talking about at the moment is that Jesus came to do one thing, and that is to reveal the Father. He came to reveal the Father. You see, many times in life, I had a great dad. My dad provided for me. My dad provided a home, but my dad was an absent dad. My dad was a dad that went away on a Sunday to go and work, and he came back on a Friday. But he was a good dad. He always provided in different ways. But my dad never actually gave me a physical hug. Why do you think I'm a hugger today? Because I know there's a lot of people that don't know and haven't received hugs before. I received my first hug from my dad when I was around about the age of 22, when I went and stood in front of him, held him and said to him, if you don't hug me, I'm not letting you go. Very awkward. He gave me the tap. I said, no, that's not a hug, that's a tap. Dad, Papa, you got to hug me. So he eventually hugged me. I went, oh, okay, that's good. So every time I saw him, I hugged him. But my dad was a good dad. But there was a lot of things my dad was not for me in my childhood. So what happens is when I look at Father God, I am tainted by how I see my earthly father on how I see my heavenly father. So many times we don't see Father God as a good God. We see, we talk about him being a good God, but we talk about him being a good God here. We don't realize here he is a good God. And I want to reveal to you and unpack that today, that he is a good God. He's not a father. He's a good father. He's not a father who's a tyrant. He's not a father who's angry and unavailable. He's not a father who is secluded and distant and absent. He's not an abusive father. He is a loving, ever-present father. One of his names is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, which means a living God who is ever present. Who knows that our God is the one and only living God? But know today as well, he's ever present. He's always with us wherever we go. It's one of his names. But I want to show you today that Jesus came to reveal the Father, but he came to reveal a good Father. And I'm going to show this to you through Scripture. And the first Scripture that we've got this morning is John 5:19 out of the New Living Translation. It says this, I'll tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. So whatever Jesus saw his Father doing, he would do. He would mirror what his Father was doing. So that, why? So that he could reveal the goodness of Father. My next scripture is John 10:27-30 out of the English ESV. There you go. Oh, yeah. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Well, isn't that comforting to know? And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Then he says this, I and the Father are one. They are one. They're not separate. Jesus and Jesus saw the Father do, and he did. We've got to understand that Jesus and the Father are one. He says it. The next scripture is John 12:49 in the Passion Translation. For I'm not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but I speak by the authority of the Father himself who sent me and who instructed me what to say. In other words, what Jesus is saying here, folks, is we are one. I do what I see the Father do. I say what I see the Father say. And I do this so that you can get to know the heart of a good Father. You can get to know that the Father is good. John 17 is my main scripture for today. And I'd love you this week to go and ponder on John 17. And I'm going to start in verse 1, which in the lead up to chapter 17 is where Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's preparing them for what's about to come, for his arrest, for his death, the crucifixion. But then in verse 1, he says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. Father, the time has come. And then verse 6, he says, I have manifested who you really are. I have manifested who you really are. And I have revealed you, there it is, to the men and women that you gave to me. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have fastened your word firmly into their hearts. And now at last they know that everything I have is a gift from you. And the very words you gave to me to speak, I have passed on to. Everything that you told me to do, Father, I have done. He came to reveal, or other translations talk about, have made known your name. The Greek word for reveal there is phaneru, which means to make visible, to manifest, to reveal, to be plainly recognized. What does Jesus want you to do? He wants you to see the Father, to plainly recognize the goodness of God. Plainly recognize the Father, the goodness of Father. He wants you to, he wants to make the Father visible to us. That's what he wanted to do to his disciples. And to this day, he still wants to continue doing that. He wants you to see the Father, not through the lens that you see your earthly father, but through the lens that he has given you, that he is a good father. You see, put it another way, the goodness of the Father, it was revealed in all that Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He healed. What did Jesus do? He gave advice. He helped people. He wept, showing his emotions. He raised people from the dead. He drove out the demons. He cleansed the lepers. He set the captives free. And so the list can go on. And the reason for all of this was to reveal a good father. Who is for us, has the best plans for us, has the best outcomes for us, if we choose him. We have to choose. It's a choice, people. We have to choose. It's a choice. Life is a choice. You chose this morning to get up and get out of bed. You chose to sit here. You chose to listen to the South African. You chose. You're choosing after this what you're going to eat. Am I right? Life is a choice. So Jesus comes, he reveals the Father, and then he says, this is who Father God is. He's a good Father. Choose him. Choose to follow him. But life is tough, JJ. I know. We all go through challenges, yes? Yes, four of us. If you're not going through a challenge, come and speak to me afterwards, please. Tell me how you did it. I'd like to know your secrets. Life is challenging, yes? It's very challenging. You know what? We've got our personal challenges. You know, being without a paycheck for 22 weeks was a challenge. Who knows that that is a challenge? And then on top of that, your wife, all of a sudden, when we say yes, when we say yes to accepting the call to come to Pneuma East, all of a sudden, Paulina needs surgery. She finds lumps in her breasts, and she's got to do surgery. And it's three surgeries later. Last week when she was here, guess what? She'd just come out of her third surgery. Is that a challenge? That's a challenge. But I serve a good father. I cannot be moved by what happens here, because what is the evidence of him being a good father is that I go for a rental. I'm the only person that is there, and I get the rental. Okay, great. Thanks for the sound effects, mate. That was really good. Just proves the point. He's a good father. The enemy wants to try and distract us right there and then, but he's a good father. Rob and Andy, that is a good father. Hand it over. There you go. All right, are we on? 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we're good. This week on Wednesday, I wake up to the text message from a very good family friend. Read like this. Baby, I'm going to not use the name, but I'm going to call baby, baby R. Baby R was born at 4 a.m. and passed away not long after that. I prayed for these people to become pregnant. That's not good news to wake up to. Then the text message read like this. I don't know that I'm supposed to be telling anyone, but if there is anyone that will believe in faith, JJ, for a baby to be raised from the dead, it is you. Can you please pray and declare for a miracle to happen in the hospital room today? What do you think my answer was? Yes. Of course. Why? Because these are very good friends of ours? Yes. But the other reason is why I wanted to pray for this is because Jesus modeled this. He modeled this throughout the Bible. He raised three people from the dead. What did he show us? He showed the goodness of Father God by raising these people from the dead. So guess what? This week I fasted and I prayed and up until now we have not heard any change in condition. And you go, but Pastor JJ, it's not 3 days anymore. It's not 4 days. I know, but Lazarus was in the tomb. He was in the weather for 3 days, not in a cool room, and Jesus still came and raised him from the dead. You see, the God that we serve is a good Father. He's a good God, and he's a God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. And until they put that baby back in the ground, and until that day, I will continue to be praying it, and I will continue to be interceding. And I know some of you in this, some of our intercessors here have been praying for the baby, and I thank you for that. And you know what? The faith has to rise. What would you do if somebody asked you to pray to raise somebody, to raise a baby from the dead? You've got to know that he's a good Father, because you stand on that goodness to be able to release the miracles, to be able to release what God wants. I messaged the parents yesterday, and I got this response. Our hearts are broken, but we have been covered in peace. Definitely been carried, and the love of the Father has been more present than ever. Wow. Wow. Even in the grief, the love of Father has been more present than ever. That's what happens when we know that he's a good Father. So, JJ, why did God not raise the baby? I don't know. I really don't know. It's okay not to know. But what I do know is that he's a good God. What I do know is that he wants the best for us. What I do know is that I might not have all my prayers answered, but I cannot question him. I cannot question his goodness, because if I look at the story, he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for us, which proves to me that he's a really good Father. Amen? I mean, seriously? If I was asked to crucify one of my boys, whew, that would be a tough one. I think every father here would speak it. But Father God chose. He chose. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. So what causes all this angst, JJ? What causes all this heartache and this disruption? I'm glad you asked. Anybody want to know? Yeah, that's good. John 10:10. John 10:10 is one of my favorite verses. I've got a lot of favorite ones, but this is one of them. It says this: the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Hold on, wait a minute. Well, many Christians read this, they read it, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know what? Guess what? There's a word in there that we miss out. What's the word? Only. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's his job description, people. That's his JD. He only does that. He only does that. John 10:10 in the Passion Translation says this: a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But this is Jesus speaking. He says, but I, Jesus, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. That to me is the sign of a good Father. Amen. He wants to give you everything, everything, people. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about every aspect of life. He wants to give you in abundance, more than you could expect, life in its fullness, until, everybody say until you overflow. Jesus comes. He speaks a warning here. He speaks and he warns us about the thief, aka Satan. And he says, hey, this is his JD. This is his job description. But I come to give you abundance. And that abundance, are we going to put this on the board? That abundance means all of this: superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse, extraordinary, above the ordinary, more than sufficient. Who knows that this is a sign of a good Father? This is the good Father that we serve. This is the good Father. Just leave that one up there for me a while, please. This is the good Father that we serve. He is. It's not just abundance. It's superabundance. Who knows that when the sales are on, they are good. But when the super sales are on, they are even better. We're talking about superabundance here, people. Something to get excited about. Overflowing. Surplus. Hello, I'll take that one for me. In every aspect of life. So, this is the Father that we have. This is the God that we have. John 10:10, the first bit talks about the thief. Let me ask you this question. Is death part of this abundance? No. Is sickness part of abundance? Is poverty part of abundance? Mental health? No. Cancer, diabetes, pain, back pain, elbow pain, neck pain, headaches. Is that? No, it's not. It's part of steal, kill, destroy. So this is your clear this is your clear description or explanation of the good versus the bad of what we go through life. Now, what do we focus on? Many times we're focusing on the bad. Many, many times in life we're focusing on the bad. Why are we focusing on the bad? Because that is the thing that's more prominent. But here's a saying for you. Write this one down. Whatever you focus on grows. Whatever you focus on grows. If you're going to be focusing on the bad's going to be growing. What do we have to focus on? The good Father. What did Jesus focus on? What did Jesus point to? The good Father. Throughout the whole of the book of John, guess what? He talks more about the goodness of God than what he does. This one verse in John 10:10 about the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But even in that whole little verse, can you put that verse up for me again, please? The verse, yep, there you go. The thief comes only to steal, but then he goes, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Put up the Passion Translation for me, please. The next one. All right, leave it there. Leave it there. No worries. No worries. You're doing amazing. You're amazing. Just want to say. So what do we need to focus on? We need to focus on a good Father. We need to take off these glasses. We need to take off these the way that we view the Father through the way we view our earthly Father. JJ had to do that. He had to get rid of this because if I've got my specs on, if I put my specs on, the way I look at my Father, and then I look up at the Father, God, I'm looking through the same spec. So if these are dirtied, guess what? These are dirtied. But Jesus says, no, take them off. Because I want you to see clearly the goodness of God. I clearly want you to see the goodness of God. I'll give you an example. Another testimony, story of what God has done in my life. So JJ, I said to you I was going to share a little bit of my story. I was in boarding school in Zimbabwe. And all the Zimbabweans go, woo. There are three of us here. Sexually abused by senior school. Senior boys at school. Sexually abused horribly. After school, went to South Africa. I've been in South Africa. Do my year 12. Finish my year 12. My dad literally, that was in December. My dad packed all my bags. Like my room was emptied. Loaded in the ute. Drove all the way to the city. Beginning of January, drops me off and leaves. I'm by myself. Nobody that I know. No, absolutely nobody. I'm alone. I'm trying to fend for myself. I am hurting on the inside. I am confused. Alcohol becomes one of my best friends. I never took drugs, but alcohol became a good friend. So I'm trying to get the pain. I'm not saying it's good. I'm trying to dampen the pain. I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to fill this void that there is. I get asked by a ballerina, a very pretty young lady. I get asked by her to go to church. I say, nope, I'm not going to go to church. I don't need to go to church. And I actually said this. I said, I don't need God right now. Who knows that that's dangerous to say right there. That is so dangerous, man. I don't need God right now. I said this. I said, I don't need God now, but maybe one day. So how did that work for you, JJ? Well, I was tired. I was living in poverty. Why were you living in poverty? Because every the beginning of the month when I got my salary, I'd go to the pub and I'd buy everybody in the pub drinks. Why was I buying them drinks? Because I was trying to win the friendships over. I was trying to make friends. Then I got home. I wouldn't have money for the next 4-5 weeks and I'd live in poverty. I'd eat brown bread, dry brown bread. That was it. Nothing on it. And water. Next week, I'll do the same. I go, and who knows that that is not a good life? That is not a good life. I even got to the place where I was sick because I'm not eating well. I was unhappy. I even contemplated suicide. Not once, not twice, many times. many times. And I want to say this, I said this in the first service, if you're sitting here and you've contemplated suicide of late, don't. Don't even go there. Steal, kill, destroy. That is the work of the enemy. God wants you to live in abundance. It's just a word on the side. See, here's my question. My question to you is, do you think this life that I was living fell under the abundance of God, or was it part of the steal, kill, and destroy? Was part of the steal, kill, and destroy. He was trying to steal my identity. I mean, I struggled with my identity. I didn't really know who I was or where I fitted in society. I was looking for anything and anybody that would come along and just accept me so that I could belong somewhere. He was trying to kill the plans that God has for me, because he knew if he killed me, he would kill the plans, and also he would destroy the legacy that would live on for years and years afterwards. Do you know that I'm the 12th JJ, Jacob Johannes? My son, who was playing drums last week, is the 13th generation firstborn JJ. We have a Bible of over 400 years old back at home. You know that that's a legacy, yeah? That's a legacy. And just like that, the enemy could have snuffed that out. Steal, kill, and destroy. And guess what happened? Some of you have heard this. But I was in my drunken stupor one day, and I said yes to somebody who kept on pestering me about going to youth. Went to youth group. Youth group is always good. Just want you to know, parents, if your kids are not coming to Numa East, bring them to Numa East. It's a place to be. And all the youth leaders went, whoop. Yeah. But it was there that everything changed, because it was there that I stopped doing life without Jesus, because I realized I needed his help, and where he helped me to navigate through life. He helped me to get my life back on track. You see, the big lie that the thief wants you to believe is this: we can do this thing called life without God. Let me tell you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You cannot do life without God. You can maybe think so, but somewhere along the line, you will come to the realization, as JJ did, when you're down and out, that I need God and I need him now. You see, if you look at our community thinks that we can do life without God. If we look at our person, the enemy comes to you and says, you know what? You don't have to be in a life group. You're okay by yourself. That's a lie. Because God did not create us to be by ourselves. He created us to be part of community. He created us. Why did you think he made Eve? Because he looked at Adam, and Adam was lonely. So he gave Eve to Adam. We are born, we are created to be part of community. And I really believe in my heart and in my soul that our community at Numa East is just going to grow and grow and grow. We are already a family, but we're going to become the family that's going to be known within the Numa family as well as within in Melbourne East. Why? Because of our love for one another. You see, at the end of the day, nations even believe we can do this thing called life without God. And just look at what's happening to the nations. Society. We don't want God in our government. Do we need God in government? Yes, we do. Do we need God in our public square, in our universities, in our schools? Yes, we do. Do we need God in our educational systems? Yes, we do. Do we need God in our workplaces? Yes, we do. Does every single person need God? Yes, they do. Because we've been created in his image to be in community, to live a life with him, not separate from him. And we have to understand that we cannot do this thing called life without God. We need God. But sometimes we like that two-year-old. You know that all those of you who've had children and had two-year-olds, you know when the two-year-old found that one word, mine, 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 give me mine, mine, mine. And you've got to try and teach him it's not yours. You've got to share. Sharing is caring. Mine, mine. Only parents know what that's about. The rest of us are like, I was never like that. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. Yes, you were. You know, sometimes we like the 13-year-old. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. I'm invincible. I'm just sick of my parents because they're always trying to tell me what to do. Wake up. You're going to be a parent one day. Welcome to the club.
But at the end of the day, guess what? This. Parents know this. The 2-year-old needs help. The 13-year-old needs help. The 16-year-old needs help. The 21-year-old needs help. The 40-year-old needs help. The 50-year-old needs help. The 80-year-old. Everybody needs help. Hello? Am I speaking to somebody here? And the help is referring us to Father God, who is a good father. The good versus the bad. So I come to you today, and I leave this thought with you. Thanks, Tim. Come and help me make it all pretty. There is someone who loves you more than anyone else, and his name is Father God. For God so loved you, the world, that he gave his one and only. He loves you. You need him. I need him. The state of Victoria needs him. Do I hear an amen? Australia needs him. Amen. The world needs him. You know, there's rumors of war. There's war. There's rumors of war. There's global warming, ocean rising. You know, all these things happening. You just got to look in our society at our kids. Drugs and pornography and it's just going to get worse, people. I'm not here about scaring you. This is reality. I look at our lives and I go and I think to myself, how would we have ever done 22 years? We landed 22 years ago, my wife and I, with 2 suitcases, not knowing anybody in Australia. There were times we didn't have money for petrol. There were times we didn't have money for food. You can ask her. She's online. She'll be going, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? But God. But God. God brought us to Australia. JJ, why did you come to Australia? Because God said go to Australia. For 22 years we've been obedient and we've seen God come through again and again and again. What happened? We made the decision to give him access to everything in our lives. Are we moved by Paulina and her surgery? Of course. Because my wife is hurting. My wife, physically, she's hurting. But you know what? She's the one that says to me, honey, don't hang around. This is the enemy that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Get on that plane. Go to Melbourne. Because that we've got to continue with what God has placed into our hands. I'm here today because she's released me to be here because we know this is what God wants. Because we know he's a good father. We know he's going to carry it. Do I miss her? I miss her. Do I miss my kids? I miss my kids. But you know what? I know that God's going to carry us through these next couple of months. And before we look again, everybody's going to be here. And the whole family's going to be together again. Why do I know that? Because he's a good father. Rob and Andy, they gave their lives to Jesus years ago. But you know what? We'll share his testimony another day. We'll get them up here. But the newspapers are on this. So much is happening with them at the moment. Guess what? This is God's opportunity. This is God's using this to show his goodness to the world. But they made the choice many, many, many years ago to give their lives to Jesus. Was it difficult to find a donor, kidney donor? Yes, it was. Until all of a sudden his wife could donate her kidney. Did he go through physical pain and mental pain and anguish? Yes, he did. But God. God's been a good father. And if you hear the stories, the sister that was looking after them is a spirit-filled Christian. The anesthetist, spirit-filled Christian. Come on. You think that just happened by coincidence? God lined it all up. Why? Because they had given their lives to Jesus. They said, Jesus, come and be the Savior. Come and be the one. I give you everything. And I truly believe that you are a good father.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.